Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is Dr. Ernest Maddox of the Point of Light Christian Center and Dr. E. Maddox Ministries. We welcome you from around the world to this broadcast relative and pertinent to the Word of God. We encourage you to call a friend and have them to call in at 646-716-8530 so they can listen on their phones, or go online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Dr. Maddox. That's DrMaddox. We are here every Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We want to encourage you to go to the bookstore, the ministry bookstore, www.DREMADDOX.org. We have a blessing there for you, all kinds of training materials, videos, MP3s that you can benefit from relative to the Word of God. There are three books that we have now: Impact of a Deliverance Prayer, Apostolic Manifesto, and Weapons of Our Warfare. Now, for a period of time, if you purchase Apostolic Manifesto and Weapons of Our Warfare, the book Impact of a Deliverance Prayer will be given free of charge. So I would encourage you to go to the website right now. You can reach us at Dr. E. Maddox Ministry via phone at 248-796-8523, the Point of Light Christian Center, 248-423-9289. We just want to take a moment to ask God to bless us as we move into the Word of God. I know that you will be blessed. So our great Father in heaven, we thank you now for the word that you are about to deliver over these airwaves. All of you be blessed, be delivered, and be empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. Now we will bring that Word of God to you. Amen.
I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gate. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor.
Jesus Christ, not Easter. You know, because we're in the season of Resurrection Sunday, I think it's very important that we clear up a few things regarding Jesus Christ and Easter. I'm going to just simply say Easter has nothing to do with Jesus Christ. Easter is a pagan origin, holy season of worshiping a fertility goddess. What does a rabbit that lays eggs have to do with the resurrection of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Absolutely nothing. The fact that we would even state or relate to the fact that rabbits even lay eggs, that's the inference, that's a lie within itself. But Easter is connected to pagan holy day worship, period. Let's go to Leviticus, the 23rd chapter, beginning in verse 5. It says, in the 14th day of the first month at evening is the Lord's Passover. Verse 6, and on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread unto the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. Here's the origin of the holy day that Christ was celebrating before his crucifixion. And we need to understand that Christ at no point celebrated a holy day entitled Easter. Now I want to go to Mark 15:42, and it says, now when the evening was come, because it was the preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph came and asked Pontius Pilate for the body of Christ. Verse 14, and Pilate was surprised that Christ was already dead. Now, my point is this. It's the evening before the Sabbath, the preparation Sabbath. Now, many have misunderstood this as being the weekly Sabbath. It was not the weekly Sabbath. It was the Sabbath of the preparation of Passover, as we talked about in Leviticus, the 23rd chapter. So they were preparing to celebrate the Passover days of unleavened bread, serious or configurations of high days or high Sabbath. You can go to any exhaustive concordance and look this up. Research it for yourself. Jesus was a Jew, and he was in the middle, or beginning rather, the observation of the Passover unleavened bread season. In Exodus 12, it talks about the first actual Passover, where the Jews were delivered from Egypt And Moses was reiterating that in Leviticus 23. Now, the reason this is critical, because any thinking individual cannot get 3 days or 3 nights if Christ was crucified Friday before the weekly Sabbath. People have tried to their own confusion, but if you understand that in 30 AD that Christ was crucified moving into the evening of Wednesday, which was the beginning of the Passover, Days of Unleavened Bread, Holy Day, High Day season, then you will recognize that Wednesday evening to Thursday evening is one day and one night. Thursday evening to Friday evening is a second day and a night, or second evening and a day. And from Friday evening to Saturday evening, May 3, and he was resurrected that Sunday. It says, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so should Christ be in the womb of the ground. So number one, our whole premise for Easter Sunday is in error. Let me say it again. Is in error. Because we need to recognize and understand beyond a shadow of a doubt that when we engage in anything pagan, then the legitimacy of what the reality of any day is now becomes a fallacy and false. The Word of God says, the truth shall set you free. Now, I know some are going to say, well, what about Acts 12:4 when it says, and when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to the four quadrants of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. And this is in reference to the Jews taking Peter. And if you note, this is during the Days of Unleavened Bread, and that word translated Easter is not the proper translation. Unfortunately, an attempt for individuals to try to make the truth of history fit the era of history. That word is actually a Greek word, P-A-S-K-H-A, Pascha, and it does mean the Passover season, or a celebration, or a feast of the Passover, extending from the 14th to the 20th day of the month of Nisan. So that word, even in Acts, should really be Passover and not Easter. Easter is a figment of the imagination of individuals trying to marry Roman pagan Christianity with the legitimacy of the Christianity that was born through the advent, the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Again, is it Jesus or is it Easter? Was it the bunny or the chicken or the dyed egg? Dyed as in colored egg, altered colored egg. Are these the symbols of your forgiven and covered sin, or is it the resurrected Jesus Christ and not a representation of a sex fertility goddess? It is an abomination. It is wicked. It is a lie. It's misinformation. And we're teaching a tradition to our children and connecting it to Jesus Christ that is totally false and in error.
Strength, a quality or a state of being strong is the ability to do or bear, the capacity for endurance. Strength is also defined as one who is regarded as the embodiment of a protective or a supportive power. That's what you are to me, Lord. I'm stronger in you because you are my strength. You predestined this expression to be a long time ago when you've given me this gift of music. And I don't take this gift lightly. I will minister your word through song. Lord, you've shown me unconditional love, and you've shown me favor beyond measure. And through our journey together, Lord, I've learned that if I trusted you, believed in your word, and was led by your spirit, Father, that you would give me the victory over every test and trial, and even in chastisement. Lord, you've covered me, restored me, renewed me, and I come out stronger and wiser. So to say thank you, I'm dedicating this project to you.
Jesus, not Easter. Look, in John 8:32, it says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. God is concerned with the truth. The legitimate God is concerned with the truth. Amen. And not some lie or feel-good activity that we engage in. In John 4:23, it says, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such to worship him. Verse 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. John 8:32 again. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Easter and the life and death of the resurrection, the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ has nothing to do with Easter. You must understand that a living Christ is looking down and he's watching what we're trying to attach to his divine purpose, and he is not happy with any of it. We must understand that the term Easter has pagan origins, and some cultures is spelled E-O-S-T-R-E, also known as E-A-S-T-R-E. It was a goddess of ancient times. This goddess was known as the great mother goddess of the Saxon people. So we need to understand that all of this Easter nonsense being connected to Christ is pagan at its very core. And we need to recognize 15. And we're also going to witness a blood moon during this period. This is very significant. This is not the time to be worshiping Jesus Christ and honoring his life, death, and life with misinformation. Look, if you want to go into some real historical research about Easter, you need to get the book, The Two Babylons, by Alexander Hislop. The Two Babylons by Alexander Hislop. If you want additional insight on some of the heresies that have crept into the observation of the holy days of God, you can also get my book, Apostolic Manifesto. I give clarity to the fact that Constantine did not embrace Christianity at the core of Christianity, but he embraced it so he could mingle it with pagan practices. And Easter was one of those pagan practices. My brothers and sisters, I'm not trying to say that people who observe Easter Sunday are wicked, evil, and bad, and are going to hell. I'm simply trying to say they are in error, and they can come out of error. They can come out of misunderstanding by just simply doing some research. We do not, in this day and age, have to embrace a lie and connect it to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, especially to an event as significant and as important as his resurrection. Look, if we can't get the count right from Friday to Sunday, saying that's 3 days and three nights, then maybe we might have the whole concept of Easter in error. As I stated earlier, in 30 AD, Christ was crucified on a holy high day, Passover, which was a Wednesday, and from a Wednesday to a Thursday is one day and night. From a Thursday to a Friday is the second, and from Friday evening to Saturday evening is three. And he was resurrected on a Sunday morning in 30 AD. Of course, as times alter and dates alter, his true date of resurrection may or may not fall on Sunday historically, but as a matter of observing that particular Sunday, we honor a Sunday that falls within the Passover season. At least that's the theory of some. But Easter has nothing to do with Jesus Christ. Again, I restate, the observance of a pagan fertility god, a god of sexual promiscuity, has nothing to do with the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we need to understand that we engage in activities such as sunrise service. We need to understand we may be, in fact, worshiping the S-U-N and not the S-O-N of God. Do your research. Do some reading. Understand how important it is to get the facts that are associated with our Lord and Jesus Christ correct. This is essential to our salvation, our belief, and foundation as Christians as we wait on the return of Jesus Christ. And whether you want to believe it or not, his return is imminent. There are signs in the heavens, there are signs on this earth, and there are signs in the spiritual realm. In your spirit and in mine, there is a witness to the fact that we are in the last days. The society has taken a turn for the worse and creating a false Jesus connected to false worship is not going to deliver anyone. And we need to accept that fact no matter how much anti-Christian, anti-Jesus, anti-Kingdom of God activity that's taken place in this world today. Now, I made a comment in reference to S-U-N worship and not the Son of God, S-O-N worship. We also talked about worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Let's go to Ezekiel 8:15. Then he said unto me, this is Ezekiel talking, and he's talking about God speaking to him. Hast thou seen this, O son of man? Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abomination than these. Verse 16. And he brought me up into the inner court of the Lord's house, and behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the pillars, were about 25 men, with their backs toward the temple of the Lord, and their faces toward the east, and they worshiped the sun toward the east. Verse 17. Then he said unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Is it a light thing to the house of Judah that they commit the abomination which they commit here? I'm just telling you what the word of God says. We have incorporated a lot of things around the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Here we read about sunrise worship service in Ezekiel 8:15, 16, and a portion of verse 17, and God calls it an abomination, an abomination. So we need to think again. Jesus, not Easter. We need to get it into our heads. It's not about sunrise services. It's not about the Easter bunny. It's not about Easter egg hunts. And I don't want to hear that argument. It's for the children. Deuteronomy 18 says we shouldn't pass our children through the fire. That's an abomination. Lying to our children about the Lord and Savior, and in particular, his resurrection, is an abomination. Remember, Jesus lives and he's paying attention. God bless you. God